Thank you. One of the songs that we just sung, I always said that. I love to tell the story. More wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. I love to tell the story. It did so much for me. And that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. Last week, our brother talked about a letter for our sister Phoebe, who was going to a different part of the world where she was going. And this letter was to introduce her to the believers there. So I was reading in Peter. I'm kind of doing a little study for myself in Peter. And I said, well, that is good, because this is a letter to the church. And the believers there in different parts of the country, when he wrote this, it said, in verse 1, it said, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 2. I read that to kind of introduce what we will be talking about. And so the epistle, or the letter, two letters, was written by the apostle. And it was written in AD 64 to 67 from Rome. And it was written to the dispersed Jews, as we just read in 1 Peter 1:1. The purpose of the letter is the exhortation of the Christian or believers during their suffering. He encouraged them to continue their godly living, holiness, and dedicated service to God. But that was not only the thing in the letter. Also in the letter, the blessing in the believers coming to know Christ as their Savior through the gospel. Proper relationship of believers versus the world, the state, the family, and the church, and then the instruction of elders and discipline of all those who are in the church. So this is two letters. The first letter has 5 chapters, and the second letter has three chapters. And this is the Apostle Peter. You know, the Apostle Peter was one of the first that kind of came to be an apostle with Jesus. Jesus called him. And during his time, before he got really to know Christ as his personal Savior, he went through some difficult times or difficult things, as we like believers do. When we come to Christ as Savior, or when he saves us, we not just be right there at the top or be strong. It takes a little time for us to get there, or in other words, to grow, like Joe's baby. You know what I mean? That baby is maybe 2 weeks old, just about. And when that crying comes, they know that he has to get some milk, or else he won't stop crying. So we're going to read 1 Peter chapter 2. Or I'll start from the end of chapter 1, and then we'll get what the apostle was trying to tell the believers. And then I'll continue to encourage us as we read through chapter 2 to verse 10. So I'll begin at verse 23 of chapter 1. And it says, it's talking to believers, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. And we are going into chapter 2 now. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all guilt, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil spirit. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stone, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who has not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." And we'll just stop there. And so we see the apostle as he encouraged these ones were going through real difficulties. Some of them were being persecuted, even some of them died for the gospel. But, you know, in all of this, if you continue to read the epistle, it would show you that he encouraged them that better days are coming, you know. So hang in there, trust in the Lord, and be what he asks you to do. In the first couple of verses, we said, "Therefore, laying," and he's really talking to us believers, "therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking." And he's saying to these ones, us Christians, that these things shouldn't be in us. Because if these things are in us, then you can't grow. In other words, these things stop the growth. They're deceit. They are defiled. The word is there. And we know these, what they do. Deceit, envy, and evil speaking. You know, it causes a lot of trouble if you do this kind of stuff. But the apostle is saying, seeing that you have come out of the darkness into the light, try to put away these things. And what they should do, instead of feeding on these things, they should feed, verse 2, "as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." And in saying, instead of doing these, things that's not good, things that you should stay away from, read the word of God so that we can grow. You know, it's staying a baby. The milk, we start from the milk, And then we go to the mashed potato or the mashed carrots and so forth. And so we do that. And then you get to the real meat, which is the hard word of Christ, the word of the Bible. We study it, we read it, and we get something afresh from it. You know, I didn't say this, but the one of the commentators said the apostle, he was like 20 years before he meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And he lived for 67 years. And so the other 47 years were with the Lord. And in his death, he refused to die like the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. He wanted to go the other way. I don't know, it's predicted, the Lord kind of predicted there, maybe you might get me wrong, in John 17 or 18, somewhere there. I don't know if that's right, but I think it is. And so, as we go forward, here he's telling them, heat on these things, or continue to make your growth stronger by using or meditating on the Word of God. And verse 3, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Yeah, that means if you've been born again, if you have given your life to Christ, if you're walking on that path where you see yourself as one who was lost but is now alive unto Christ. And then we go over now into the real meat here of the believer, starting from verse 4 to maybe verse 8, where he's telling us what we should do or what we should be doing as a believer in the church of God. And verse 4 said, come into him as to a living stone. So, in other words, the Lord Jesus Christ is a stone already. But we, as individuals, are coming to him now as a living stone. Why? Because we have accepted the good news. We have been born again. We have asked him into our lives, and we are walking on that path. And then it said, rejected indeed by men. This is now speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes? He was rejected by his own, by the leaders of the Jewish race. And they didn't want to hear him. They didn't want to listen to him because he was not their king. And so they reject him. And it said, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Yeah, this is very powerful here. You, me, we're a special stone. Not only are we special, but we are living stone. We are, this morning we did that. We are in the spiritual house. And we come in the breaking of bread to meet our Maker or to give him thanks for what he has done for us. And how do we do that? By the fruit of our lips, the praise. And each one of us, not only men, women do it silently, but the men get up and do that. Yeah, that's what this is saying. You also are, as living stones are being built up in a spiritual house and as a holy priesthood. Yes, that we are, a holy priesthood. You know, in the Jewish days, the priest, only if you are a priest, were allowed to give the sacrifices. And so, as we look back on the Israelites and what they did, God said to them, if you obey me, you will be my people. But they didn't do that. They didn't do that. They reject God. They turn him aside. And today, the church is looked upon as God's special people. Yeah? Yeah, because he brings us salvation. And we are here even this morning to serve him. That's why he's saying we as living stone and as a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And as we come in the morning and we get up and as we give him praise by the hymns, by your prayer, by the silent meditation, they rise up to him and he accepts it. Because he wants us to do that. You see, the Israeli, those are gone. He's dealing with the church now. This is the church period. And we as priests come into the living church. Christians are all living church. And we gather here each Sunday morning to give him praise and to thank him for what he has done for us. We are chosen by God, and we are precious. Precious. Remember that, dear ones. We are precious. And we have the privilege to talk to our Father, to give him thanks. Even when it's silent, that's when you lift up your praise. And you're meditating, but you're communing with the one who loved you and gave himself for us. And we're going to go on to verse 6. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will no means be put to shame. And this here is a quote from Isaiah 28:16. He goes back, the apostle goes back to the Old Testament to quote these verses. God's building project is a spiritual house and made up of people. It started with the first chosen and living stone, namely Jesus. But he was disallowed by his own people and rulers. This lack of recognition led to Jesus' death. And you can look at 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 8. Jesus is the cornerstone for the church. Ephesians 2:20. One stone does not make a building. In other words, Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. And he wants each one of us to come together to build that church or to finish that building. You see, that's what he's doing these days. He's saving each one who is willing to give their life to him. And they come into that building and they're neatly fitted. You see, each one of us too are different. I don't know if you ever see a building. Our brother was here Thursday night and he was talking about the building and the blocks and so forth. But you know, each one of those blocks are different. They have to cut some. They have to shape it up. And all of these blocks are so different. And so this is what we have in the church today. You know, maybe a starting big block, and then a medium block, a small block, and so forth. In the church today, you have people who know the Word of God, who read it daily, on a daily basis, who go by it. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying for us. We build a church by each individual believer. And there we have it. We can go from here to Jamaica. We can go from here to England or anywhere else. And as you go, you ask the taxi or whoever is taking you home, where is the nearest brethren church? Or, you know believers where they gather? Yeah. Those are one of the things that if you go abroad, you will hear. Because these church, why? They're different. They're not like the Anglican or the Presbyterian or so forth. But we gather in a small group. And God The Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And so we give him praise. And the Lord Jesus Christ is building the church one stone at a time. In this little reading here, we see the Lord Jesus has been presented as the living stone, a rejected stone, a precious stone, and the cornerstone. The one who has united believers, both believing Jews and Gentiles, like two walls in one building, into one new man. And if you go to Ephesians 2:13-14, you can see that. Yes, the one, this one who was alone, who was forsaken, who lived to give everlasting life. He was shunned by his own people. But today, the day of grace is still available. And whoever wants him to be their savior, he will do that. Israel had that chance, and they didn't do it. They didn't take it. You know, they were disobedient. And I have a little note here. In Exodus 19, 5 and 6, Israel failed to realize the promise of God because of unbelief. And the nation lost the place as God's own people. During the present age, the church occupies the favored place that Israel lost through disobedience. Yeah. He did that. They didn't want to hear him. They didn't want him. They said, away with him. Give us Barabbas. And yet, he pleaded with them continually after that. But still, they didn't heed. And he came to the church. He's building his church one by one. And whoever will listen to him, he can have this salvation. The cornerstone, he's elect and he's precious. And he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. How about that, dear ones? He who believes in him, really believes in him, he saves me, he gives me life, he helps me every day, and he keeps me, he satisfies me. You know, I can tell you, I think I said this up here before. Once in my life, I didn't have a job, you know, and we were at a retirement party, and my Jennifer said that. See, I could give up, but I didn't, you know. And within the week, there came a call on the phone. Do you want a job? Yeah, I want a job. I'm out of a job. Well, you got a job. Report to so-and-so. And that was it. That's my life story. But the Lord provides for his own. If we really believe him, you know, you don't know where it's coming from, but he's going to provide for us. And he always does. He always does. Not the way maybe we want it, but he's going to provide for us. Sometimes we are going through difficulties and we can't even see. You know, some of us are, still are. But there's others praying for you. There's always the believer in holding you up in their little prayer room, in their homes, holding you up. Let's go on. He who believes on him by no means will be put to shame. And verse 7 said, therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. It reminds us again there. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders reject has become the chief cornerstone. And there, this is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ here. And this is a quote again from Psalms 118 and verse 22. Yeah, the chief cornerstone. Have you ever stories told of a building being built and they sent up the stone and the stone was, they said, oh, the builder said, oh, we can't use that stone, and they put it aside. And they keep on building and building until they reach like the top. And when they wanted a cut stone, they said, but the same stone that he refused, the builder said, well, we sent it up already. Where is it? And so it was a side moth and all this dirt was on it. And he said, shape it up and bring it back. And they shaped the stone up and bring it back. And that stone was the exact fit there was. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. He has done so much for us. He's right there on the, we call it, there's a word in the scripture, the capstone. And he fitted right in. Jews and Gentiles come together. And we sit and we communicate and we listen and we understand what he has done for us. Verse 8, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. And these are talking about believers who were saved. And now they refuse, turn aside, and is walking no more with the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of them know the way because they were there, but they are disobedient. And they had that, they have their day coming to stand before God to give an account. Verse 8, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, they stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. Dear ones, as we are believers, there is either right or left. You can't be on both sides. You either is a Christian or you either is an unbeliever. You know, it's no way around that. You believe the word of God or you don't believe the word of God. And that is right up front, dear ones. So this here is another quote from Isaiah 8:14. That's verse 8. So you see, the apostle, he know the word of God because he's writing here his letter and he's going back to the Old Testament to bring the Jewish people to remind them of these things. It's between me and you, no, the church, but he's bringing what they had before. So he goes on in verse 9, but you, I don't know if I did say, I would call this sermon a chosen people. And this is the verse that says that, verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Here I just write these down. Peter lists four ways which the Church of Jesus is God's new nation. One, the church is a chosen generation because God selected it for Christ. And you have a quote in Ephesians 1 and verse 4. Two, the church is a royal priesthood. In the church, believers are royalty because of their relationship to King Jesus. We are also priests in that we minister to one another and the sinners. And if you want to have a quote for that, Acts 16, maybe 25 through 31. You remember the Apostle Paul was in jail? And at midnight, what happened? They were singing and the walls break down. So, yeah. What then the jailer said, what must I do to be saved? Yeah. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Number 3, we are also a holy nation. you want them or you want us to be holy as he is holy. 1 Peter 1:15-16. And 4, the church is his own special people, a unique possession, a peculiar people. God does not share the church with any other God. He is a jealous God. Exodus 34:14. You can read these scriptures. Write them down and read them, or you can see me and I give you them. You see, when you're doing all these little devotion, I call them devotion, there is so much scriptures that you can embank on. But you kind of pick the capstone, I call it, or those that really bite into the Word of God. Yes, dear ones, we are in God's house. We are being built up day by day. We are being cared for. And sometimes we don't even know it. It's down the road there. Somebody might say, well, yeah, I'm praying for you. Or I thought about you the other day. But God's people are always helping other people. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. His own special people. Can you imagine if all of us in here get a letter from the Queen of England? Look out, I'm coming to your house for tea, 4 o'clock on such and such a day. Wouldn't we clean up? We'd get our houses all clean, oh, spick and span. Or would you leave it as is? And the Queen come and they say, oh, I can't have tea with you because your house is messy. You have all the time in the world to prepare. So is it like us with King Jesus. We have that relationship. So we should be always be ready to give an account. To be taken away. How about that? If King Jesus come today, we all are ready to go with him. And dear ones, as I said, God's act of choosing Christian is bringing them from spiritual darkness into his marvelous light. Of God's truth, the church does not exist for its own pleasure, but to glorify God in all it does. We are a chosen people. And if you left here today and think about this, I am. We are as a group, but I am a chosen person. Why? Because the Father loved us so much and he sent his Son to die for us. And he died for me. He died for me. And he gave his life so that I might help others, might show others the way. And this is what the church should be doing. Today, when you go, you can study this little letter, two letters, or you can put it on your list to do that, which is very, very encouraging, you know. The apostle was a elderly man when he wrote this, you know, but he see all the thing before he died. And God gave all these great writers to pen these lines for us who are behind. So as we go today, let's remember that we are a chosen people. Let's pray. Oh, Father and our God, we thank you again for this day. We just thank you that we are your children. And we lovingly thank you for saving us. Father, we just thank you that we think of those who are going through difficulties this morning. Again, we just pray for them and bring them before the throne. We think of those who are not well and those, Father, who are suffering. We pray that thou mayst just come alongside them this morning and encourage them. Thank you, Father, for your word again. And as we separate from here, help us to be and to continue to be your chosen people. In Jesus' name, amen.